Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. Today we're previewing the London Jazz Festival with Matt Roberts. Matt, of course, has been on the show before. He's an incredible freelance trumpet player, composer, conductor. He's a man of all talents. Happily today, he is our man on the ground in the middle of the festival to tell us what's going on and what it's like. Matt Roberts, welcome back to the Jazz Podcast. My thoughts exactly.
Maybe you can replace that vocalisation of an explosion with an actual soundboard explosion.
A genuine explosion, yeah. Yes. If we had any kind of budget, I think that... In fact, no, you're right. I can do that.
You can do that, mate. You got those moves.
So, welcome to the London Jazz Festival kind of preview in progress show. The catchiest name I could come up with. We're in Soho on the Monday night of the first Monday of the festival. And we're going to talk about what's coming up. But let's talk about what we've been up to. What have you been up to?
What I've been up to? Well, right now, I just finished a session at Angel. I was conducting a pretty outrageous lineup, string orchestra and killing brass section with some, even though it was a bit of a classical vibe, there was a lot of very talented jazz musicians, like the great Trevor Myers was on trombone, Nicole Thompson on trombone, James Copus, of course, the Magnum Copus.
What was this thing?
It was some thing for a cruise thing. It was a guy had been commissioned to put together some kind of epic kind of dramatic film score, Hans Zimmer-esque thing, and used a lot of plugins. And then the people on the boat had decided, oh, actually, we'd love it if it was all played by live instruments. So, they booked a session, and I was originally asked to orchestrate it, but I was finishing a big orchestration deadline. Deadline was on Friday, and I said, look, I could probably start it on Monday, and they were like, No, we need it done by Monday. I was like, you need the orchestration done by Monday. No, we need the recording done by Monday.
Wow.
So that was mad. Anyhow, so they found an orchestrator to turn it around in a week. They only contacted me a week ago, mental. And they found someone. I kind of washed my hands of it, but then they said, look, Matt, we're actually short of a conductor. Would you be up for coming in and conducting it? I was like, yeah, great. So I've just finished that. It was really good fun. And now, what we're sat in Cafe Nehru. Nehru. About to get ready to set up for our gig.
Yeah, so if you haven't listened to the first show of Matt's, you're a prolific composer, player of the trumpet. You are one of my favourite composers of music in London.
Thank you very much indeed.
And I'm sure I said this last time, but one of the first big band gigs I did in London was in like 2010 with Jack Davies' big band, and we played some of your New Horizons suite. And it was absolutely glorious. I loved every second.
It's very kind.
Your gig tonight is the Matt Roberts Big Ish Band.
Yeah.
Which is sold out at the Spice of Life.
Paul Pace, the man himself, just walked past the window as you said that.
Man who, he runs the Spice?
He
doesn't own the Spice.
No. He's the resident jazz promoter at the Spice. And
does he do Ronnie's as well?
Yeah, he's one of a handful of bookers that work at Ronnie's, yeah.
Okay.
It's my understanding.
Okay, sweet. So, I can't remember what we talked about your Big-ish Band.
Well, the thing about my Big-ish Band is, in general, it's not my original music.
There's great Freddie Hubbard's I've been checking out today.
Oh, it's great.
Stuff I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
What is it, The Love Connection?
Yeah. It's a banger, mate. So basically every year with that band is we try and pay tribute to one of my favourite jazz musicians. Last year we did a tribute to Wayne Shorter. Previous year we actually did a double header, and one night we did a tribute to Ellington, the other night we did a tribute to Gil Evans. That's the way we've been doing it, and I really enjoy that. It's nice to kind of get your teeth sunk into one specific artist, composer, player. And this year it's Freddie Hubbard, and actually specifically Freddie's music from the 1970s. So it's going to get funky. It's going to get cosmic.
Ooh, so some of those tunes are like new arrangements just for tonight.
All of them new arrangements for tonight.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Why Freddie? already, what made you decide that he was the man to do a tribute for?
Well, funnily enough, actually, it kind of came from Reuben Fowler, because he was another outstanding arranger who contacted me, and he kind of said, look, Matt, wouldn't it be great to do a kind of Freddie Hubbard, all that 70s stuff, you know, the stuff with all alto flute and bass clarinet, and do like kind of two sets of that, you know, would you be up for splitting it, you know, you do a set, I do a set. And I was like, oh, it sounds great. And So the plan is ultimately, I've done a set basically of Freddie Hubbard arrangements.
Right.
He's just finishing a project he's working on, which
is that the Steely Dan.
It is, yeah. I don't know how much is
okay.
Is disclosed okay. Disclosable information on that. He's working on that. So we're going to do this double gig at some point where we play both of our two sets of Freddie arrangements. And anyhow, but yeah, so tonight it's just my arrangements in the first half. In the second half, we'll be looking at tunes that aren't necessarily composed by Freddie, but maybe by his contemporaries like Wayne Shorter, of course. We'll be playing some tunes from Speak No Evil, for example, that Freddie famously featured on, played some pretty iconic solos. So Freddie's the kind of the theme that's running through the night.
Okay.
But the first set's going to be all Freddie compositions, and then the second set will be tunes associated with Freddie Hubbard.
Sweet. It's just crossed my mind that we'll actually release this tomorrow.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that people can listen to if they're listening to this thinking, actually, I would have liked to check that out? Which, incidentally, it's sold out. So even if I released it right now, it wouldn't really make any difference.
Yeah, that's it, man. Snooze, you lose. Do you know what I mean? Jeez. So we're gonna be playing some tunes from the album Red Clay, which is really, I guess, famous for the title track. But honestly, every tune on that album's a banger.
Okay.
So we're gonna be doing tunes from that record. So yeah, get that record on the blower. Check that out.
You know, Dan had a great idea actually that I can't believe we haven't done yet, which is a jazz podcast Spotify playlist where all the music of all the guests that we've ever had on the show is in one place.
That's a really good idea.
I know. He said it to me this morning, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
yes.
You got to do that.
Why is that not a thing yet?
Yeah.
So is there anything else in line for the band?
For the band. Honestly, I've just come from out of a period of very kind of hectic kind of schedule, and I'm kind of like, this gig is kind of the end of that. I'm going to be... At some point, me and Ruben are going to do that double kind of big band head thing. Well, it's going to be one big band, but half my arrangements, half his arrangements.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, to be honest...
Not like a battle of the bands.
No. Oh, that could be cool, though. A little sound clash. But the...
I did that once with Sam Jessen, Johnny Silk and Jack Davies. Three big bands? Three different big bands at the same night in Battersea Mess and Music Hall.
Oh, Christ.
Although, thanks to the magic of the baritone saxophone, I got to play in all three.
Nice.
You know, that's just what happens.
USB.
If you own a baritone saxophone, you can create more of a career.
Yeah.
In fact, Nick Smart, who's the head of jazz at the Academy, said to me once, you know, Rob, you often get in bands that you have no right to be in thanks to the baritone.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, hello, yeah. semi-questionable career in freelance jazz.
Yeah, although the downside is they're often big bands, which tend to be the least paid, well paid out of all the gigs, you know. But,
yes, that's a thing.
But anyhow, but they're also the most fun, in my opinion. But there we are. But yeah. But look, honestly, look, the biggest band, we do a gig, really a gig a year.
Okay.
Honestly, it's kind of that... Yeah, for me.
Do you think you'd ever do an album?
Yes, definitely. That's definitely on the cards. It needs me to devote some time to probably writing a few more originals. I mean, in terms of arrangements I've done of other people's music, yeah, great. I could do a record tomorrow, but it'd be great to get some more originals on a record, or maybe it would be cool to do a kind of themed record, you know, an album of the music of Freddie Hubbard or whatever.
Usually is the best way to start, so I'm told.
What, without some music, someone else's music?
Somebody, Nick Smart told me that. His first album was a Nick Drake tribute. He said it was a tactical decision that it's much easier to start out with someone else's charts.
That,
yeah, well, the, yeah, yeah, but your charts, but your interpretation.
Yeah, of course, your spin on someone else.
I'll bear that in mind. I'll bear that in mind.
That was advice that was given to me 8 years ago. Nice. I don't know if the world has changed since then. I doubt it. I doubt it very much. So let's talk about. Did you see Jeff Goldblum had a gig?
No. Honestly, mate, I'm telling you, I have been out of the loop. I've been in hibernation, mate. Trust me. But yeah,
All the guests I could have decided.
I'm really sorry. No, there's some things I'm looking forward to. I've got tickets for Louis Cole's big band on. Is it Friday night or Saturday night? I think it's Friday night.
Okay.
Really looking forward to that. So,
do you know where that is?
Yes, it's odd venue actually. Not a venue I associate with the jazz festival. Islington Assembly Hall.
Oh,
it's actually near Angel Studios where I've just been.
Right.
Cracking. Good venue, actually. I played a big gig with an indie rock band there a couple of years ago. But yes, I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, I'm a big fan of Louis Cole's and that whole movement that's coming out of LA at the moment. Jacob Mann, he's got a cracking big band, wonderful pianist. Well worth checking out Jacob Mann big band. And of course, Noah's stuff with Genevieve. Brilliant music.
Yes. What's Noah got to do with this?
So Louis Cole, so Noah is a duo outfit between, yes, Genevieve the vocalist and Louis the producer.
Oh, cool, because I've only heard fleeting bits that Raph Clarkson has played me, mainly the track with John Screep.
Oh yeah, that's funny.
Which is really, really kind of terrifying. And so Louis Cole has a big band that's playing at the Jazz Festival.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so that's on Friday. So I've got tickets for that. Really looking forward to that. I mean, it's going to be a hang as well. We should probably be talking about that, because that, for me, yeah, of course, there's great gigs that happen at this during this week in the year. But the thing for me, I feel like there's great gigs happening all year round, you know, in London for jazz. But for me, what this time of year is, just it's just people keep it free and it's a hang, and you know, you got a Ronnie's, you got a pizza, are often open late. I assume that's the case this year. It's been the case in previous years. Most nights there's a jam on until the early hours, and you know, all these heavy cats are there, they're hanging, they want to play, and also, you know, it's a time for people to showcase the work they've been doing all year, it's brilliant. I love it. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. We got the lineup in front of us now, and I'm seeing Empirical are doing that pop-up jazz lounge at Old Street Tube. They did that, was it a year or two ago? And I couldn't make it, I was devastated, but I'm delighted. I can't wait to go and check that out. Incredible. You know,
how does that work?
They just play there, you just rock up.
Okay.
And the good thing about it is there's just people passing by, and they're walking past going, what the is that, like, you know what I mean, and then they're checking it out, you know, and I love it, because you know, and Pickerel's music is uncompromising, you know, it's really fucking heady stuff, but it's amazing when you put music like that, quite challenging music, in a public space, actually the engagement you get is actually really high. So that's really fantastic. What else we got? We're looking ahead. Got Stanley Clark and the Headhunters, goodness me. Andy Corey Band. Yeah, I mean, just...
I'm going to fill in this gap by talking about Empirical.
Yes.
That, amongst other things. It's Lewis Wright on vibes.
Yes.
Tom Farmer on bass.
Yeah. Shaney Forbes.
Shaney Forbes on drums.
And Nathan on the
Nathaniel alto. Facey, that's the one. Yeah, I saw them back at the Royal Northern, probably 10 years ago when Kit Downs was in the band.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, I'm too young for this. The music was really, really, like you say, uncompromising and demanding.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, to have in a public space is great.
It's brilliant. It's fantastic, and you get that. Not, you know, that's a great thing in a tube station, Old Street Tube. But you get that in all, like the Barbican and the South Bank Centre, all the free stages just outside the concert venues around, kind of they aim to catch you before you're going into one of the ticketed gigs. But yeah, around kind of 2 p.m. Or yeah, maybe they do lunchtime stuff as well. But the ones I'm thinking of, the slot, I'm thinking it was kind of between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Right.
There's that they call it the front room stage, which is just outside the.
It's like a fishing net to try and stop people going home.
Yeah, exactly. It's brilliant. it's brilliant, and people stick around and people come and check it out. And it's all credit to Sirius. They do a great job of marketing it, and you get people out to gigs that probably aren't checking out jazz for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And I guess the skill is to try and we've got this 1 week to sell jazz to everyone to get them to keep coming to gigs for the rest of the the rest of the year until next year. It's brilliant.
Can we talk about Quentin Collins?
Yeah, we can.
He's in your band.
He is. Well, yeah, I'm delighted because
Quentin is a trumpet player, and as some of you are well aware, Matt is a trumpet player. So I'm going to pick your brains.
Yeah, well,
trumpet brains.
So I mean, we know I've always in the last few biggish band gigs we've done, I've put a trumpet player called James Copas, who's an outstanding trumpet player, one of my favourites. And anyway, I tried to book him for this gig, and he couldn't make it, sadly.
He must be getting very busy.
Oh, he's extremely busy, but he does make time for gigs that he really wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, to be fair, it wasn't a money gig that was stopping him. He was at a gig with the Stan Sussman Big Band, so that's why he couldn't take it. Anyhow, that made me sad for a little bit, but then it also made me a little bit excited because I thought, oh, time to, we've got such a wealth of talent of people we can pick from, and then I thought, right, we're doing a Freddie Hubbard tribute, right, who really has got that hard but specifically Freddie Hubbard sound, and for me it was like Quentin Collins is just the obvious choice, really, absolutely amazing trumpet player, really just lives and breathes that hard bop tradition, and Freddie in particular, you know, he just worships him, knows every record, so it was an opportunity to book him, so it's great. So we got Quentin on the gig, and he's really looking forward to it, I can't wait to have him on it.
And he's got his own gig tomorrow.
That's right, he's got his own
Tuesday
gig
Tuesday the 20th.
So he's at the Spice Alive. I think he's at the Spice three or four nights in a row, but anyhow, yeah, he's here tonight with my band, and then tomorrow night, Tuesday 20th, he's there with his own sextet, which I'm sure will be absolutely killing.
Here's a question. How did you find out about Quentin in life? Can you remember your first?
Do you know what? I can. It was when I lived in Greenwich, and I lived with a pianist called Sam Leake, and he...
Sam Leake comes up on this show a lot.
Yeah, but he does. Yeah. Well, he's a busy guy, you know, jazz-wise. I mean, he's super, super busy, very active, and he used to run, and probably still does, to be fair, because he doesn't live in Greenwich anymore. He lives in Charlton, which is just down the road, and he for a while was, and maybe still does, run a night a week, maybe a night every fortnight or something at Oliver's Jazz Bar, which anyone that knows anything about Greenwich and the jazz scene knows that Oliver's is kind of the epicentre of the Greenwich jazz scene, which actually has quite a substantial jazz scene because, of course, it's where Trinity College of Music is. And anyhow, and he was running a night. He said, oh, I might come down, you know, I'm running that. I was like, oh yeah, I'll come down, and came down, didn't know who Quentin Collins was. It was so funny because I maybe been living in London for about 3 years, and the thing about London is
you studied at Trinity.
I did, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
keep going.
Yeah,
sorry.
The thing about London is you're here for a little while and you think, oh, you know, after a couple of years, first year you're just hearing these music, like, you know, these trumpet players, you're like, oh my god, look, that's so ridiculous, oh my god, Laura Jurd, oh, she's so amazing, and hearing all these people for the first time, just being like, oh wow, this is such a heavy scene. But by 3 years had gone by, I kind of felt like I'd met everyone and knew all the trumpet players at least. And then, yeah, I rock up to this gig at Oliver's. You know, there's about five people in the audience. And then I hear Quentin Collins for the first time. I'm like, oh, my God, who the f*** is this guy? You know, and he's just like some guy I'd never even heard of. And he's fucking killing it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Just I remember the bell of his trumpet was just, like, directed right at my eardrum, and oh man, there's some frequencies I'll never hear again after that gig, but I was so grateful for it. It was absolutely killing. It'd been so long since I'd heard someone who'd really just nailed that hard bop thing, like legit, not just done it as a kind of rite of passage so they can play more kind of recent stuff, you know. It's like he really lives and breathes that thing, and the sound and the articulation, the detail, and the amount of transcription the guy I know has done and continues to do. So he still transcribes all the time, and it's just, it's incredible. He's an outstanding musician. It's a, you know, delight to have him in the band. And,
a great album for me for checking out that kind of what you say about hard bop done not just for the sake of a rite of passage to go on something else was Leo Richardson's album.
Oh, mate, killing. Yeah. I mean, that. It's funny because I don't know how aware people are in London, in Britain, about this, but the British jazz scene is kind of making a few ripples across the world at the moment, because of, mainly because of the work of Jazz Refreshed, who have been running a night out of Mau Mau Bar in Portobello Road for a few years now, and they've really built up a scene with its own identity. Fantastic stuff, musicians like Nabai Garcia, Joe Armand Jones, that kind of stuff, and yeah, it's really making ripples abroad, all in the, you know, in France, in all over, you know, Western Europe, and even in New York. They've been sending guys over to South by Southwest. They've been sending guys over to the States, and I feel people are really starting to take notice. But the specific kind of jazz that is, it's not the kind of straight ahead hard bop thing that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And as soon as Leo put his record out, I think everyone thought that all British jazz was like that kind of jazz that's been making the waves. That, you know, Shabaka Hutchins is another guy that comes to mind, which is super killing. But I think, yeah, it's when Leo did his record, he got interviewed for Downbeat, and one of the questions was like, you know, like, oh, you know, we normally associate British jazz with this thing, and we didn't know. And it's just like, God, imagine if they knew about the straight ahead scene in London in particular, but all over the UK. It's just, it's really heavy, you know, guys. Like, we've got Alex Garnett playing in the section tonight, which is, I mean, he's just a monster. Brandon Allen.
A lot of people have been on at me in the past about Alex being the best saxophone jazz player in the country.
He's a beast, man. For that straight ahead thing, his knowledge of tunes, history. Yeah. I mean, it's legit. It's great. That Leo's record is just killing it. Of course, Quentin plays the tunes.
Quentin plays on that. Exceptional segue, which is that Leo is at the Spice of Life on Wednesday night.
Boom. So it's all kicking off with the Spice of Life, isn't it?
Big time.
Right, who else have we got? We got Freddie Gavita. That'll be heavy.
Yeah.
Westminster, the Other Palace Studio. I don't even know what that is.
Cool name.
Yeah.
There's a major PDF I've just found of the Jazz Festival listings.
Mate, then, Tom Barford, hold tight, Tom Barford.
Yeah,
That's on Wednesday. At the Green Note in Camden, lovely little club. Tom Barford is a young upstart, fresh, fresh-faced, straight out of the Royal Academy of Music, young but with an experienced head on his shoulders. He's a monster, and he's got a record out on Edition Records, Bloomer. Highly recommend checking it out. God, he's just a beast. The guy's unbelievable, man. Not just on Tenno and Sop, the whole lot. He's a beast. Yeah, go on.
Did he win the Kenny Wiener Prize?
I think that's probably
An album contract with Edition, winning the Kenny Wiener Prize. Just before we move on, it's hard to stop now. This is so much. But also, Jim Mullen is on Wednesday night at the Pheasant Tree, and Antonio Sanchez, who I adore. You know, he's a drummer.
Is that El Negro, that guy? Is that like Al, like salsa?
He played the Birdman score, solo drum.
Oh, no, different guy. Sorry, I'm thinking of Horatio Hernandez. Sorry, completely different guy. Heavy. Yeah, man, that's going to be incredible. Music.
Doesn't say anything else about him, but whatever that is.
I've got a shout out my mate Al McSween, who's playing at Pizza Express on Thursday afternoon, 1 p.m. He's an outstanding piano player, with the Latin persuasion.
Yeah, Stan Saltzman's big band, which you mentioned before, is on
incredible.
Is this Friday now?
Yeah, this
Thursday.
Is Thursday, yeah.
Thursday.
That'd be fantastic.
And Jeff Goldblum is back at Ronnie Scott's.
So heavy.
No offence to Jeff, I wouldn't personally recommend it, but by all means, go on Spotify and judge for yourself. I mean, I love him. Independence Day, can't get enough.
My legendary role. Yeah, him and his dad. How many Jewish gags? You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny. It cracks me up.
Yeah, that's a wonderful. But there's a great review of his gig written by Peter Jones on the London Jazz Festival website right now, because he played a couple of nights ago. If you want to know if the vibe is for you or not, check out what the fuss is about. Peter Jones will set you straight.
Nice, there we are. Uh-huh. So yeah, Mark Kavuma is playing midnight at Peter Express Jazz Club. That's probably going to be a jam later on. That could be the place to be on a Thursday night. Mark's a wonderful trumpet player. That guy's shedded Kenny Dorham. Sounds fantastic. What else we got? Kit Downs at the Festival Hall, 1 p.m. That'll be banging.
Finney Beerman. Yeah. Royal Albert Hall, Elgar Room.
Goodness me, Phrenesis.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. The Brass Funkies, my old friend Veej.
Oh, yeah.
He was on the Cambridge Jazz Festival preview show a couple of weeks ago.
Brilliant.
They're playing at the Spice. What do you know? Man. Spice of Life. And then I think there's more. If we scroll across, there's tons more.
Oh, my God.
A couple of other highlights. Dave O'Higgins. We're still on Friday here.
I mean, he's another guy you got to drop in the whole, UK straight ahead scene. I mean, just banging, absolutely banging player.
And a really nice guy.
Absolute sweetheart.
Let's go on to Saturday, the 24th of November. What have we got?
Goodness, Pete Wareham. I mean, he's just a great musician. He's so much, always doing super exciting stuff. Ivor Neame, of course. Outstanding.
Yeah.
So we're just literally saying names. We're not actually...
This is a great guide for people who want to know. This is the, what other musicians would go to guides to the jazz festival.
Yeah, exactly.
As I say on the start of every festival preview show, there's nothing in here that you can't figure out by just reading the brochure.
Yeah. I got a big up, a drummer who has been pricking my eyes recently, the great Will Cleesby. Outstanding drummer, ex-Trinity, I believe. And he's running a kind of late show at Kansas Smitty's on the Saturday night from 8:30 p.m. That'll be banging. Kansas Smitty's, if you haven't been there, wonderful little kind of, I guess, speakeasy basement kind of bar vibe
in Hackney.
Broadway Market. It's well worth checking out.
Yeah, that's probably one, if I had tourist friends come to London, want to check out some jazz.
Yeah, great shout. We've got Jeff Williams on the Sunday afternoon at Pizza, to 12:30. I mean, I love that guy. What, one of my favourite drummers.
Yeah.
Outrageous behaviour. Oh, hello. 1:30 p.m. at the Spice, Flying Machines. Our mutual friend Alex Monk, wonderful guitarist, composer.
Yeah.
And he's got this project, Flying Machines, which is almost definitely coming from a jazz sensibility, but almost as much kind of prog rock shred as it is jazz. And I think it's a great fusion. And they've just got their second album out, which I listened to on repeat for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic stuff with the legendary Flying Machines rhythm section, which involves Connor Chaplin on bass, Dave Hamlett on drums, and Matt Robinson on keys, who
what
are actually the rhythm section tonight.
What a coincidence.
Yeah,
what do you
so
know?
There we are.
Well, it isn't a coincidence due to their burning chops.
That's it. Yeah, they're all beasts.
I remember when I was in Alex's year. No, I wasn't. I was a year younger than him at Academy. And when we graduated, for 4 years or so, he did a lot of sideman playing, nothing on his own. And I kept sort of thinking, hey, when if Alex ever did an album on his own, I bet it would be really something. And then, of course, it's really, really something.
Yeah.
Now it's sort of a bit inappropriate and frightening.
It's heavy. There we are. I think we've done a good summary there.
We've done a wonderful job. Yeah. I am really impressed with the quality of this podcast.
Oh, mate. I hope so. There we are.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming on the Jazz Podcast and helping me to semi-preview/review, because we're kind of in the middle already, London Jazz Festival.
Rob, I hope it's been of some use, mate, and I'm really looking... Well, thanks for doing my gig tonight, for one.
Oh, yeah.
And looking your... Basically, the two biggest woodwind instruments, bass clarinet and Barry, across London. It's much appreciated.
It's my pleasure. Just glad to be out the house.
You legend. See you soon, man.